Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A new winter storm is creating dangerous driving conditions from the Central Plains to the East Coast. First responders have been busy in Potomac Mills, Virginia.
We've seen cars not safely braking or not having enough distance to safely brake.
More than 10 inches of snow have fallen in Virginia and West Virginia. CBS meteorologist David Parkinson says there's more to come.
We really have back-to-back storms, so we're not even done with the first storm. It is still bringing snow to portions of the Mid-Atlantic, though, as the morning goes on, and certainly into the afternoon, it transitions over to rain or concludes. So that storm will be gone, and then the next storm already ramping up. It is bringing snow right now to Kansas City and portions of the Midwest.
It was a snowy night outside the White House where an American teacher draped an American flag over his shoulders and thanked the president for sending a negotiator to secure his freedom from a Russian jail. Correspondent Jared Hill.
After 3.5 years in Russian captivity, American Mark Fogel is back on U.S. soil.
I feel like the luckiest man on earth right now.
President Donald Trump welcomed the Pennsylvania school teacher to the White House late last night.
It's great to have you back.
Oh,
and have a great life.
In 2021, Fogel was arrested at a Moscow airport for carrying a small amount of marijuana. His family says it was to treat back pain. The White House hasn't offered details on what the U.S. gave up in exchange, but said it's a sign of goodwill in ending Russia's war with Ukraine.
The Senate holds a confirmation vote this morning on Tulsi Gabbard, the president's pick to be National Intelligence Director. CBS's Christina Corujo.
She faced tough questions from senators, both Democrats and Republicans, due to her comments about the NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden and her comments about Russia's war in Ukraine and her past opposition renewing a key government surveillance authority.
We'll find out if the Federal Reserve's fight to bring down inflation is working when the Labor Department releases its report on January prices this morning. CBS's Kelly O'Grady.
Key areas to look at will be food, energy, cars, and insurance, shelter as well. Housing prices rank as a consistent challenge for consumers and a driver of that ongoing inflation. Also expect egg prices to be noteworthy with the ongoing bird flu causing a shortage.
There is a new warning about human flu from chief medical correspondent Dr. John Lapook.
We're now seeing for the first time since the pandemic, deaths from flu are more than deaths from COVID. And in about 22 states, that's the case. And in some states like California, deaths from flu are about twice the death rate from COVID.
S&P futures down 9, NAS futures off 12. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Marquette gets the win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Marquette Golden Eagles got a win at home, 68-58 over DePaul. Cam Jones, 19 points in the game, moved him to the number 3 all-time leading scorer in Marquette history. Stevie Mitchell was 17 for the Golden Eagles and 9 assists on what was the game plan for the first half.
We knew they were going to go zone because they did that last time, so we prepared a lot for that zone. And, you know, as the game went on, just sticking with what we were doing, I think in the first half we were driving it hard, but we were missing some shots. They have good players. They're contesting it. So I think we just were able to stick with what we were doing, even though the results necessarily weren't what we wanted in terms of finishing or making shots. And I just think that's a testament to, you know, our trust in each other, our trust in, you know, our coaches, and, you know, our coaches trusting us.
Marquette is now off until next Tuesday when they host Seton Hall. NBA, it's the Bucks and the Timberwolves tonight in Minnesota, their last game heading into the All-Star break. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Here's a comedy to look forward to, starring a rock star duo of Bill Murray and Kristen Wiig. The two Saturday Night Live alums will headline the cast of Epiphany, which will be directed by Max Barbacow, who also directed Palm Springs. The plot sees Kristen Wiig as an heiress who has blown through her fortune and now has 2 weeks to marry a rich man or lose everything and end up homeless. She meets Murray's character, who is a math savant and billionaire, really hoping there's no sex between the two leads in this film. As of February 14th, YouTube will be 20 years old. The social media platform, which started with people posting home movies and personal videos, has turned into a global phenomenon and a major studio that even makes feature films in 4K. According to Deadline, YouTube just reached another milestone. More people now use the TVs in their home when watching YouTube content than they do on their phones. Go figure. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We have some light snow on the way today through tonight, around 2, maybe 3 inches by the time everything winds down late tonight. Our high today, 15. The wind north at 5 to 10. Tonight down to 0. Tomorrow, sunshine returns with a high near 12. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Currently, it's 3 above.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time on Big Show as Supreme Court candidate Susan Crawford joins Trigby Olson and I in an hour number 2, What's Worse? Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who likes pina coladas, but hates getting caught in the rain, Pete Schwabe.
All right. Hour number 2 on a Tuesday. We are lighting it up, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Thomas will be here at 7:20. We'll talk movies and St. Valentine's Day festivities in Madison with Rob. We have a few more guests, a few more minutes here with my in-studio guest, Mark Motorson, who is a retired Appleton police officer and does a lot of work with the Appleton Historical Society, including this Thursday, February 13th. From 5 to 7 p.m., you can join him at the Appleton Historical Society for True Appleton Crime Stories. That should be fun, Mark. Tell us about that. Give us a little thumbnail about that again if people are just joining us. And then tell us what else you got cooking there at the Historical Society.
Okay, well, our Thursday nights from 5 to 8 are free, where during the day we charge people to get in if they're not a member of our society.
Okay.
And so this Thursday, actually, I'm going to start about 6:30, actually, talking about some of the old crimes in Appleton.
Okay.
And then other Thursday nights, the following Thursday, the 20th, we're going to have a ukulele history journey. And February 27th will be a speaker on the history of Air Wisconsin.
Oh.
That Air Wisconsin started in Appleton.
Yeah.
And they're celebrating their 65 years this year.
Okay. So and when is that?
That's the 27th.
27th, okay.
In Wisconsin, we have a speaker on their 65th anniversary.
Nice.
So right now we're in the middle of a $1.5 million capital campaign fundraiser for our new location. We're at 231 West Franklin Street in Appleton. We just bought the building May 1st of last year and then remodeled. We're still actually remodeling the second floor yet, but our main floor that's open right now, our first floor is open. We also have a $100,000 matching grants in effect right now. And you can go to AppletonHistory.com and click on the Donate Capital Campaign button if you wish to donate to us. We're a nonprofit. We're an all-volunteer organization, so we have no paid employees. You could also send a check to us at 231 West Franklin Street in Appleton if you wish to donate, and all your donations will be doubled.
Hmm.
Our free presentation series are on the. We also have a presentation series on the second Wednesday of the month at Community First Credit Union. At I think their address here is 2626 South United Street. Those start at 7 o'clock. So this coming Thursday night, I'm sorry, these are Wednesdays, the second Wednesday of the month. So this coming Wednesday, which is tomorrow night, is the history of Elm Tree Bakery in Appleton. That's at 7 o'clock. At the Community First Credit Union, South United Street. March 12th is the Matrix Band. April 9th will be Death and Disease in Appleton. May 14th is the History of Wickman Funeral Home. June 11th is the Farm to Wall Street and Back. I'm not sure what that's going to be about. July 9th is the history of Standard Manufacturing and Fred Heppner and Sons, which were builders in Appleton.
Yeah.
August 13th is going to be Conn's Wood Products. September 10th is going to be the history of the Appleton Police Department. And October 8th will be the Pioneer and Riverside Cemetery, the history of that.
Boy, you guys got a full dance card over there.
We do a lot of
stuff.
Yeah. Let's see what's here.
Are you guys connected, Mark, to the like Facebook pages? I just got invited to follow Appleton Historical. I follow these pages in cities I live in or have lived in, and I find them.
We have a Facebook page, and right now we have 9,500 people on our Facebook.
Oh, that's great.
Because a lot of old Appleton photographs go on our Facebook, and people, and a lot of times people will even put an old picture on there and say, I think this is Appleton, or I know it's Appleton, but I don't know where it was from. Within probably 5 minutes, people are telling them. We have a lot of interaction on our Facebook.
That is part of the fun to me about, because you could post something
a lot of fun.
And you'd be surprised how many people know the history, even if the administrator of the page does.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and it's just absolutely, I love that those pages are so popular. Yeah.
Right now in our museum, we have made in Appleton area that shows old things that were made in Appleton. And we have a Courtney Woolen Mill. Courtney Woolen Mill is a woolen mill that just closed late last year. It was down by the river in Appleton. And they donated two of their bigger machines to us. We brought those up to our museum, and we have those running again.
Nice.
And we also have the Lamson Preferred Cable Cash Carrier redone in our museum. The cable cash carrier, I can remember that back in the 1950s in Appleton when it was at the Loudeman Gage department store where the PAC is now right now. And I would go in there as a kid, and you'd give your money to the clerk. They would put it in this little metal container, and would run on a track up to the office on the second floor. The office would send your change back down along with the receipt.
Hmm.
And Mike Gage, who is related to the Gage that owned half of the department store, when they took that preferred cash cable out and put it in their attic, when they were going to tear the building down, he got that, kept it for probably 25 years in his garage, and he donated it to us.
Nice.
And some relatives of the Glaudemans reinstalled it in our museum, so we have that running again.
Oh, fantastic.
It's the only one like that known to be running again in the United States.
Do you work with all of the historical societies in the state? I know we've got the Historical Society of Madison has sent me guests periodically.
We're a member of the Wisconsin Historical Society.
Okay, it's all kind of a network?
Yep.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, I wish you luck with the event on Thursday, Mark. It sounds like a lot of fun. Before I let you get out of here, I'm fascinated the stories you tell about your police work. You walk the beat. You've worked on drug cases. You said you've assisted in homicides. What about police work got you most excited when you were a cop? Was it walking the beat or doing patrol or investigating cases? What was the kind of
stuff? Walking the beat was fun, but I always wanted to be a detective, because a detective, you're actually helping people.
Yeah.
You know, there's one case in particular. I remember a woman from my high school class came in and said that her parents had invested money with their insurance agents in Appleton. And the insurance agents didn't really give her any documentation of where the money went, or her parents. And when she called up asking questions, they wouldn't really give her information. So I went over to the insurance agent's office and told them why I was there, and asked them where these people's money went, and they wouldn't tell me. And so I got a subpoena and subpoenaed their bank records and found out that they had not only squandered the money, they bought a car and a boat. And
whoa.
But I also found six more victims. So we went from $20,000 from my original victims. And they also talked these original victims into cashing in their life insurance policies and giving them the money. And so they not only got the money from those people, but they got money from five other people for about $200,000. And one of the two insurance agents eventually pled guilty, and the other one, we had a jury trial, and he was found guilty of securities fraud.
Were those people able to get their money back? Like, was there some sort of insurance policy either for the people that took the money, or are they just out of luck?
We only got back probably about a fourth of the money.
Okay. But it must give you some sense of satisfaction to find justice for people and
it did.
Catch the bad guys. So, you know.
stop more victims from becoming victims.
Yeah.
But I'd like to help people that way. And I worked a lot of securities frauds, embezzlements, contractor frauds, where a contractor would take down $10,000 to put in remodeling work and never did it. So I worked a lot of those type of cases.
Okay. Conrad got very nervous when he saw you show up here. I don't know if he... You got a guilty conscience, Con?
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know.
Mark, this was fun. Tell us, what else can people expect Thursday night? It's free, right?
It's free.
Okay.
And we're going to start about 6:30, but the free part starts at 5 o'clock. You can come in and view the museum first if you want.
Yeah.
And then stay for the talk.
Have you always been a history buff, or is this something you kind of got passionate about when you retired?
I probably started about 25 years ago, and I started collecting actually things that were from Applin, things that were made in Applin, things that advertised old Applin companies, old photographs of companies. One of the things, and I forgot to mention in our museum,
yeah,
that there are different rooms. We have a sports room right now that's basketball. We've got all the high school's stuff featured in there. We're going to be going into baseball, I think, later, and football at some point. We have a Air Wisconsin room. We have another room from Presto Products, was a company that was started in the garage in Applin. And now they have plastic baggies and things.
Okay.
And we have a room on their history. We have a research and library. So for the library, we're looking for like old Applin City directories, because we do a lot of research for people too. Okay. People come in and want us to do research on their houses, or business people that bought a building downtown will come in and ask us to do research on their building, or ask us if we have any old photographs of their building that they could use in their building in the hallways or in some of the offices. We do.
Nice.
And this is all free for people. We just ask for a donation.
Because
I said we are a nonprofit and we're all volunteers. We have no paid employees.
That's excellent. And I love that it's free to the public too, because it's something people should embrace, sure, you know, and learn more about our history.
And we have a map room that goes at the earliest beginning to today.
So okay.
A lot of old maps.
Check out the Appleton Historical Society and check out this event on Thursday night, folks. True Appleton Crime Stories. February 13th from 5 to 7 by our guest here. He is the man of the hour that will be there telling stories, Mark Motorson.
And that's at 231 West Franklin Street.
Okay.
Applin History Museum.
I've got, we've got to do a break, but I've got, before we go, and thank you again for your time. This has been great. It's been great having you on the show. I have a recommendation for you. You gave us FBI files. I'll check that out. But there is a true crime documentary about how they caught the Night Stalker killer in Los Angeles. I think it's on Netflix. And again, my daughter got me into that. And the way the police found him from a shoe print and the near misses gives you a real insight. And I'm saying this for the listeners as much too, into what police officers go through and the near misses and how close you guys are sometimes to getting someone. I highly recommend you check that out. And I'd love to talk with you about it the next time you're on the show. So thanks so much for coming in.
Hey, thank you.
All right. You got it. That's Mark Motorson. Check out the Appleton's Historical Society Thursday, a true crime event. Mark will be there answering questions and telling stories. When we come back, Rob Thomas from the CityCast Madison newsletter will be here. He's also a great critic, and we'll talk to Rob about movies. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. February 10th, the head of the Office of Government Ethics, a Senate-confirmed position, was fired by letter by President Donald Trump, likely illegally. In an even more questionable action the same day, the U.S. Department of Justice dropped federal corruption charges against New York City Mayor Eric Adams. As we reported last December, Mayor Adams was accused by the Biden DOJ of taking campaign donations from foreign nationals and businessmen allegedly using straw donors to make them appear as legitimate donations. He was also accused of doing favors in exchange for luxury travel and attempting to conceal those transactions. January 17th, Adams traveled to meet with Trump at Mar-a-Lago. And recently, Adams expressed a willingness to work with the administration on immigration, contrary to New York City's status as a sanctuary city. Now, DOJ has reversed course, citing a memo from Trump's AG restoring the integrity and credibility of the Department of Justice and Trump's executive order ending the weaponization of the federal government. Also on Monday, David Heitema, the director of the Office of Government Ethics, confirmed by the Senate in December for a five-year term, was notified of his firing by Trump. The head of the Office of Special Counsel, Hampton Dellinger, fired by Trump February 7th, had his removal blocked by a federal judge on Monday. We've linked the DOJ's memo dropping charges against Adams at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Steve in the 920 says, I agree with Steady Eddie. Kelsey will retire and get married to Taylor. The wedding will take place on the Chiefs' first regular season home game on the field in front of the Chiefs fans and nationally televised for all to see. I don't think people outside of Kansas City would want to watch that. There was a lot of speculation that the reason Taylor Swift got booed was because the crowd in the Superdome was like 70% for Philadelphia. I could be wrong about that, but that's what I read. That's a great text. Thank you, Steve. And that's a very Steady Eddie text your dad just kind of sent in there, Conrad. Very reminiscent of a Steady Eddie.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too. But, you know, I would tune in and just be happy for them, you know?
Yeah. They seem like a nice couple. And pretty soon, we'll see how
they could use the publicity, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I just hope they register somewhere sensible. Their wedding. Okay, so this is exciting. I always love our opportunity to talk movies with my next guest who joins us now over the stream. He is a Madison-based film critic and is the City Cast Madison newsletter editor. And he joins us now, as he often does, Rob Thomas. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Pete. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm well. Very well.
I'm glad to hear that. So you've got some big stuff going on in Madison. Where do we start, Rob? Because you're ahead of me again. I thought I was making all this headway on movies, and here you are. You're way ahead of me once again.
I don't feel ahead of you. I still haven't seen four of the top 10 Best Picture nominees. That's pretty bad. I mean, so I gotta find some. It's supposed to snow heavily here tomorrow in Madison, so maybe that's the day.
Hole
up and catch up on.
Well. My issue is I've got three of the films left to watch, and I don't know what happened, but for the longest time I was reporting that, like, not reporting because I'm not a reporter, but like I was presenting A Real Pain as one of the Best Picture nominees, and it's not. I think I got confused with Kieran Culkin got a Best Actor nod, but the film is not up for Best Picture. And I think in one of my Hollywood beats, I talked about it, and I've gotten so confused trying to keep up with all the movies.
Yeah. 10 is still too many. I think like it's too much paperwork to try and keep track of all of them. Yeah.
It really is. I have to pull them up every time. Cause I can't think, I guess Nickel Boys is coming out this weekend on streaming. So I'm excited to see that. I've heard that's very good. The Brutalist, it's anybody's guess as to when I'll be able to see that. And what's the other one I haven't seen is I Am Here.
I'm Still Here.
I'm Still Here.
Like, just came out in theaters last week, so I'm not sure I'll be on streaming before the Oscars.
Okay.
It's pretty tight.
Well,
turnaround.
Let's. I got lucky last year because, what was it, the Emma Stone movie with Mark Ruffalo, Strange Things?
Poor Things.
Poor Things. Yeah. That came out on streaming the day of the Oscars. I watched that the Sunday morning it came out, so I barely got all the films in last year under the wire. But let's talk. You've seen some good ones, but let's do those next. Let's start with Valentine's Day in Madison. It's right around the corner, and it looks like, according to the CityCast Madison newsletter, which you are the editor of, it looks like there's some cool things going on. Is there anything you could recommend to people listening right now who might be in Madison and are looking for a good night out?
Yeah. I mean, a lot, you know, not surprisingly, a lot of restaurants sort of put their best foot forward on the Friday and the Thursday and do like special, oh, 3-course dinners or 4-course dinners, or there's one inside a 5-course dinner. One of my favorite restaurants in town is Cento, this Italian place.
Yeah.
They have a great brunch, but they have a special dinner menu all weekend with cocktails and apps and stuff. That's really good. But one thing I like and what I wrote about was there's really a nice variety of, you don't have to, you know, get the tuxedo and tails to go out on Valentine's Day necessarily.
Right.
What we're going to do is order heart-shaped enchiladas from this place in town called Cantina. And they're like take and bake, take them home, bake them up. And even get a churro bouquet to go with it. So it feels like that's a little more our speed, I think.
Yeah, that's good.
Or you can always do the old heart-shaped pizza. It's hard to beat that some years. Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, it's going to give you indigestion right before you have sex, but at least it was shaped like a heart. And I don't understand that the 7-course meal before one of the few times married couples can actually get together sexually, they're going to stuff their faces right before, unless they go out after. That's a different story.
Maybe that's the, yeah.
Work
maybe
up an appetite, right?
Experience. Yeah. You reorder that a little bit. Yeah.
Between courses,
depending on how you work it. Yeah.
Yeah. Get creative, people. Yeah. This is a great article though. And you're right. There are a lot of different suggestions you give here. I have to say I've never had brunch at the Bassett Street Brunch Club. Can you tell me what that experience is about? This is one of the places you mentioned, and it always looks enticing. I don't know why. I've just never been able to make it happen.
Well, that's funny enough. My daughter and I just went there for brunch last week because it was her 21st birthday.
Oh, nice.
So she had her very first sip of alcohol.
Oh, dear.
I swear.
Oh, I saw that on Facebook. You posted a picture. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, I was joking, of course, but she was legit and ordered mimosas, and it was really fun. It's like it's sort of halfway between a diner and like an upscale restaurant. Like there is like diner seats at one part and like, you know, high back booths, and they've got boozy drinks, and I had like a tater tot burrito that was really good, brought half of it home for the next morning, and highly recommend it if you're in town. And of course, it's the kind of place where they have breakfast all day, so you don't have to get up early to go.
And it's right in that hotel. I've stayed there several times.
The Hampton Inn.
It's right in the bottom of that, right? Or on the okay. Yeah.
One thing is there's so much construction in Madison, there's like no parking right now. We're looking on the map and like parking structure, and then we drive over there, and there's literally just a giant pit because it was torn down to make room for something. So, yeah, downtown Madison is a little challenging right now, but definitely worth it for brunch.
All right. Well, that's good to know. Yeah, it's I got to check that out. My son used to go there a lot when he was in school there. They would make a big day of it. And I thought that was hilarious. Like, that's how things have changed. Like, when I was a kid, I don't ever remember going to brunch with a bunch of dudes, but we would go.
I saw some brunch dudes there. Yeah, I saw some college brunch dudes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a thing now. I guess young men have evolved. They can enjoy a nice brunch together.
Not us, Pete. Not us.
No, exactly. All right, Rob Thomas is here. We're going to do the news, and then we'll come back and talk about some of the Oscars films we've seen, and we'll find out the ones Rob hasn't seen, just so we can collaborate here. And I do want to hear about Paddington in Peru. Conrad and I are very excited to hear your review of that. So we'll do all that after the news. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
There's progress we have found.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. It's a snowy mess from the nation's midsection to the mid-Atlantic. This woman's in Cape May, New Jersey.
My husband already did some salting, and hopefully that'll make it a little bit easier. And he just bought a electric shovel.
The Labor Department releases a report this morning on how much we've been paying for everything from food to insurance. Reporter Jason Brooks.
The January Consumer Price Index is expected to remain slightly elevated due to higher prices for new and used cars, while the food category could perk up as egg prices have soared higher in response to the bird flu.
A federal judge in Washington holds a hearing today to consider extending a limited temporary restraining order preventing the Trump administration from putting more than 2,000 government employees on leave. Tom Yazgirdi with the American Foreign Service Association.
I think what we're seeing here is just a wholesale effort to close USAID down.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Marquette gets the win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Marquette Golden Eagles got a win at home, 68-58 over DePaul. Cam Jones, 19 points in the game, moved him to the number three all-time leading scorer in Marquette history. Stevie Mitchell was 17 for the Golden Eagles and 9 assists on what was the game plan for the first half.
We knew they were going to go zone because they did that last time, so we prepared a lot for that zone. And, you know, as the game went on, just sticking with what we were doing, I think in the first half we were driving it hard, but we were missing some shots. They have good players. They're contesting it. So I think we just were able to stick with what we were doing, even though the results necessarily weren't what we wanted in terms of finishing or making shots. And I just think that's a testament to, you know, our trust in each other, our trust in, you know, our coaches, and, you know, our coaches trusting us.
Marquette is now off until next Tuesday when they host Seton Hall. NBA, it's the Bucks and the Timberwolves tonight in Minnesota, their last game heading into the All-Star break. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Liam Neeson was supposed to be stepping back from action movies, but apparently the genre is too embedded in his DNA. The Irish actor just started filming The Mongoose, where he plays Fang Flanagan, a war hero being accused of crimes he supposedly did not commit. To add a little more macho to the fire is a character named Tanker, played by Ving Rhames. Michael Chiklis plays the bad guy and head of the Texas Highway Patrol, who chases Neeson literally throughout the film. Don't give up on action movies, Liam. Very few people can do them at your age. Sticking with action heroes, actor Jason Statham has a new film in the works called Black Bear. That might be a working title. There's not a whole lot of information about the plot, but I'm guessing there's a chase and probably some unexpected gunfire. Now that's sarcasm. Statham plays a man who gets pulled into his violent past and probably messes a few people up. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have some light snow on the way today through tonight, around 2, maybe 3 inches by the time everything winds down late tonight. Our high today, 15. The wind north at 5 to 10. Tonight down to 0. Tomorrow, sunshine returns with a high near 12. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Outside now, it's 1 above.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself. Surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Well, that's me, but I won't be here. I'm off this week, so Greg Bach and Kristen Lyerly will be filling in Monday through Thursday, Todd Alba on Friday.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Madison. She says, Pete, if you go to the Bassett Street Brunch Club, you have to try the coconut cream pie French toast. Oh, my God. I think I got fatter just reading that.
I was thinking that something.
That sounds awesome. Thank you, Anna. Welcome back, folks. We're in the home stretch here tonight on this gorgeous cold Tuesday night here in downtown Green Bay. Hope you're staying warm wherever you are. My guest right now over the stream is our friend Rob Thomas, and we're going to jump into some movie talk here with Rob. Rob, before we get started on Oscar films, I have to ask you, tell me about Paddington. I haven't seen any of them, and they're supposed to be great.
Yeah, I mean, the first two, so Paddington was this a whole series of children's books. I mean, when I was a kid, I think they were around. So they're pretty old. About this bear who gets picked up at Paddington Station, lives with a human family, loves marmalade, very cute. Two movies are fantastic, especially the second one, which has Hugh Grant as the bad guy, sort of this fading actor turned villain, and it's really fun. Or, as they say, all ages. Like, kids love it. Adults love it. I don't know if you saw that. I don't remember that Nicolas Cage movie.
Unbearable Weight of Obnoxious Talent. Yeah.
Where him and Pedro Pascal are watching it.
So yeah. Great. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean that movie is an instant classic. And so they've made a third one a few years later that's in theaters this week called Paddington in Peru. And it's fine. It's with, you know, one of those things where it's like, maybe you should have stopped with two.
Okay.
But it's still pretty charming. It's about, you know, he goes to Peru, as you might guess from the title, to look for his long lost aunt, and gets involved in kind of a sort of a sub Indiana Jones quest for treasure thing. And, you know, it's fun. It's got Antonio Banderas is in it. He's got a really fun performance. Olivia Colman plays a singing nun, who's sort of like Julie Andrews in Sound of Music. And it's got some fun gags and stuff, but it's not quite at the level of the first two.
Okay. All right. And then I wanted to ask you about a couple films that I saw that are not in the Oscar race, but Don't Move, the new Sam Raimi film on Netflix, and September 5. The movie about the Munich Olympics in 1972 and the hostage crisis. Have you seen either one of those?
I've seen September 5.
Okay.
And thought it was good.
I liked that a lot.
Yeah. I was not really expecting it. It's so interesting. First of all, it's this, you know, this incredible story about, you know, this hostage taking at the 1972 Olympics in Munich. It told from the perspective of the ABC sports team, right?
Right.
And and how they covered it live, and it was sort of a watershed change for news, really, to have a live coverage going on like that. And it's fascinating. The one thing I thought was so interesting was just the technology there in 1972.
Yeah,
like they had a reserve space on the satellite, you know, and like all that stuff that you don't even think about today. But like, it was also so primitive by today's standards, and how they managed to, you know, have this journalistic feat. I really enjoyed that. I don't think that got, did that get any Oscar nominations? Like maybe for screenplay or something? I can't remember.
I don't think so, but I could be wrong. I didn't really research it, because it came up last weekend, and my wife and I were both down sick, and we're like, well, let's check this out. And it was the nuance, pardon me, that I thought was so interesting when they said ABC News is taking it. It's like, no, they're not.
Right.
And they're ABC News, but they're sports. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's a totally different operation. But their argument was, we're here on the ground where it's happening 100 feet away. And that's just a dynamic that I found really interesting. And I love a good newsroom drama. And I thought that had a lot of it. And the look of it was great, too. It really looked like it was the 70s.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It was very well done. Yeah. And then I have not seen Don't Move, but the premise is irresistible to me. What a great idea for a movie. Yeah,
exactly. I enjoyed it. So I'd be anxious to hear what you thought of that. But let's go through some of these Oscar films. So you saw I'm Still Here. I have not seen that yet.
Yes.
What were your thoughts on I'm Still Here?
Fantastic movie. It's based on a true story set in Brazil in the 70s under this military dictatorship. this very loving family, lots of kids, and the husband is kidnapped and just disappears by the government. And it really focuses on the wife and mother. That actress is also nominated for Best Actress, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And how she tries to keep the family together and keep, you know, and tries to not have this incredible tragedy kind of define their lives. But she's also, you know, relentless in trying to get the truth from the government about what happened. Like they tell him, oh, we don't know where he is. We think he maybe escaped or something, which is a lie, of course. Great movie. So it's opening so late that I don't know how many people will get a chance to see it before the Oscars, but I highly recommend it. It's really well done.
You know, it's funny. That sounds like an Oscar movie, what you were just describing. And I have to be honest, a lot of the films that I've seen, I like them a lot, but I don't know that I can see them taking home Best Picture. Like my favorite right now is probably A Complete Unknown, based on what I've seen. But like, The Substance I watched, and I remember you saying it's a horror film and it's kind of a dark comedy. What a horrifying film. It was grotesque, and it kind of had me as a movie until, I don't want to give it away, but what happens with the two women becoming one, kind of, and like when the blood, it was like, had this Carrie moment at the end where everyone in the audience is getting doused with blood. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? Like, I didn't even understand how it got a Best Movie nod. Is it just because it's so different, do you think, or what?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen The Substance yet. That's what.
Oh, I thought you saw it. I'm sorry.
No, okay. I definitely know about it.
Okay.
So I know what you're talking about. It's one I kind of got to, you know, gird myself up for, I think.
Yeah. yeah, well said.
But it is so interesting, like, because it's like, it is horror, and like, horror never gets nominated for Best Picture. Like, I mean, I have to go back to like Silence of the Lambs to think of a horror movie that was, you know. But I know one part of it is people love Demi Moore's performance in it as sort of a comeback, and I wonder if that helped kind of lift the film as a whole to a Best Picture nomination. Also, I think Best Director. So it's gotten a few.
Kidding. Wow. Well, they're not making movies for me anymore, Rob. So what did you see, Anora?
I haven't. No,
okay.
The four I haven't seen are Substance, Anora, Nickel Boys, and Emilia Perez, which.
Okay.
I can't find anybody who likes that movie. So, which is kind of interesting.
That's a tough
way.
One. Yeah. I struggled with that. Like, I love the premise. When I heard, you know, what the drug dealer wanted to become a woman and then live happily ever after, but it's this great thing where it's like, well, there's still that drug dealer soul in there, and was all fascinating to me. But I just didn't think it was a great movie. There's so much going on. It was so weird at times. But I would, I'd be interested to hear what you have to say about that as well. So, of the films you've seen, and I don't think we've talked about The Brutalist. What did you think of that?
I was really impressed by it.
Okay.
You haven't seen it yet, right?
I have not. Yeah. No,
it's incredible movie making. I mean, it's, as you know, it's a 3.5-hour movie.
Yeah,
it's, you know, it's amazing they made it for like $10 million because it looks like $100 million movie easily.
Wow.
Great performances, a really interesting story. Yeah, there was kind of a point, maybe like 2 hours into it, where I was kind of like, is this kind of all it is? You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't really, to me, it's like the themes it has are pretty obvious, you know, in a way. Like, it's about art versus capitalism and da 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 da. And I was struggling with that. It was like, is this kind of all there is? Because I think I get it now.
Yeah.
By the end, there's an epilogue that I actually really liked, and I felt really kind of pulled it all together for me in a satisfying way. But I mean, just in the strength of the movie making, I could see that winning, because it does feel like an old fashioned capital BB blockbuster, you know?
Yeah. That, and based on what you just said about I'm Still Here, those are the two that to me seem like Oscar movies. Like, some of these, they were good movies, but I'm like, wow, that's interesting. And maybe it's because they are nominating 10 films now. And this is without having seen Nickel Boys or The Brutalist or I'm Still Here, but
Nickel Boys is supposed to be great.
That's what
I'm
I've heard.
To see that. Yeah.
That's what I've heard. So of these, Is Brutalist, are you thinking, or what you're hearing, or just kind of based on what you know?
I'm kind of think Anora, just because
really
last weekend was the Directors Guild and the Producers Guild Awards, and those are usually the best predictors of who's going to win. And I think director Sean Baker of Anora won the top one for the DGA. And I think the Nora won for the PGA. That's a pretty, as close as you're going to get this year to thinking like of a front runner. I think it might be a Nora. I mean, I really thought Wicked was going to, because that's sort of the, you know, blockbuster,
yeah,
crowd pleaser, sort of the Barbie of this year. But I guess I'm not really feeling that. And I thought Incomplete Unknown is a great movie too. I really liked it. I think Timothy Chalamet will probably win Best Actor, but although that's a very, there's a lot of good performances in that category.
Yeah,
but it's a tough one to predict this year, which is fun. I mean,
yeah, no, I agree. I did not get, and again, after you see Anora, we'll have to talk. But pardon me, I've just kind of discovered Sean Baker recently, and I've blown through like four of his movies in the last 2 weeks. Loved The Florida Project. It like is up there as one of my all time favorite films. Tangerine was funky and weird, and I really kind of grew into that film as it went on.
And
Red Rocket was good, but like this one, I was sort of like, you know, the performances were good, but there was this, and there's some funny moments, but
yeah,
man, it kind of meanders and just, I don't know. Did that win Best Ensemble at the SAG Awards? Because supposedly the film that wins Best Ensemble at SAG has won Best Picture like 26 out of 30 years.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was this crazy
statistic.
It doesn't
seem like really an ensemble film to me, the way I would say like A Complete Unknown feels more like an ensemble film to me. Because you know what I mean? Because it's, yeah. I don't know who won that. I guess that would be interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm the same way where I like all his movies.
Yeah.
And would love to see him get recognized because he makes these really interesting kind of scruffy movies that very focused on character more than plot.
Right. So which I love.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's so great, but this has like character to like, I don't know. You just have to see it, but the SAG Awards are February 23rd. So I guess we'll have a better indication then. My guest is Rob Thomas. He is a Madison based film critic and writes for CityCast Madison. He's the newsletter editor. So, what are you most looking forward to, Rob, between now and summer, if I may ask? Is there a big event?
Let me think. There were a lot of movie trailers at the Super Bowl last weekend.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Like, I'm really excited for that Mission Impossible movie. I think that looks fantastic.
Yeah, me too.
A couple other ones, like the Fantastic Four, doesn't really do it for me. I don't know. Maybe I'm all marveled out, although I'm interested in seeing this new one with Harrison Ford. And I'm trying to think. I saw Tim Robinson from I Think You Should Leave has a movie coming out with him and Paul Rudd called Friendship.
Is that the one you saw, Conrad?
Yeah, I saw that trailer this morning, and I'm still confused about what it's really gonna. Is it gonna be a horror or comedy? I don't know.
Yeah. But I like that. I like that where it's like you just don't know going in. It would be too easy if it's just a horror movie. So it could just be very uncomfortable, awkward, you know? So that's interesting to me. I mean, I think it's going to be a pretty good spring.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, Rob, we're going to do a very quick break. Then I have one more question for you. I'd love to ask you your thoughts on the Super Bowl halftime show and any commercials that jumped out at you. And then we can let you get on with your evening if you're cool with that.
Sounds good.
All right. Rob Thomas is here for a couple more minutes. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Well, the train is trying to tell me something, but we'll have to stop thinking about it. I don't know. I doubt it. Subterranean by design. I wonder what I would find if I met you. Let my eyes caress you until I meet the thought of Mrs. Princess, who often wonder what makes her work. I guess I'll leave that question to the experts, assuming that there are some out there that probably alone.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
the Badgers.
Seats Max, fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Play.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts at a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
Keeping you connected to your local community with real news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you've never stayed overnight on a dairy farm, would you consider it? The Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association hopes you will and is working to position the state as the nation's agricultural tourism destination.
How can we grow agricultural tourism in the state of Wisconsin? Because all of our neighbors are embracing this and they're supporting agricultural tourism because they know it's an economic engine and it makes a huge impact for every taxpayer in our state.
Sheila Everhart is with the association and says from gathering eggs to corn mazes, ag tourism is on the rise. And overnight farm visits kick off as part of the NFL draft in Green Bay. Want to learn more, volunteer, or try your own ag trip? Go to WIAgTourism.com. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Hi, this is Beth, your new host for The Kitchen is Open, the award-winning show within the morning show. Each Monday morning at 9 a.m., we'll tackle topics, teach techniques, and tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners with insight on what it takes to make it in the food industry. Listen as I work with James, Seth, and others as we learn, laugh, and have fun. The Kitchen is Open. Same kitchen, new host.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Bridget from the 818 says, I am looking forward to daylight savings ending. Light, I love the light. I always have so much more energy. That's great, Bridget. I am totally with you. From the 321, Pam says, blooming lilac bushes. Nice. Grandma Krieger and Aunt Pam from Florida. How many aunts do you have, Conrad?
I have two on my dad's side.
Okay. Wow. And they both listen to the show.
Yep.
Your dad's side is my favorite side of your family. We've got a couple more minutes here with our guest, Rob Thomas, who joins us periodically to talk movies and film and fun stuff. Rob, did you watch the Super Bowl?
I did.
What did you think?
Yeah. The game was a surprise, a pleasant surprise.
How
that went. Yeah, I really enjoyed that. I thought the halftime show was also a surprise and also a really good surprise. It was like art. Like, it was really challenging to watch. There were all these cool Easter eggs that sort of, you know, and was not, I guess I sort of expected more of an overt political statement with Trump there.
Yeah.
But it was really interesting. And, you know, it was about, you know, being a black man in America, like that image of the Stars and Stripes made out of the bodies of black men was really powerful, especially when it got pulled in half.
Right.
But it was just more, it was just deeper than that, I guess. It wasn't a statement. It was like, you know, it was like, yeah, like I said, it was like art. So it was like, I was really impressed by it.
I was too. And I will say my initial reaction to it without having, I didn't know what he was trying to say through some of it.
Right.
I heard the phrase 40 acres and a mule and I was like, okay, he's going there. But I don't know a lot of his music. I knew about the feud with Drake. And, but as I read about it, I was like, oh my gosh. Like, I thought my initial response, Rob, was just like, this is cool. It's mellow. And he was just kind of moving around. I love the way it was lit. And like you said, the guy's dressed in red, white, and blue. But it wasn't until I read about it later afterwards that that I was like really blown away.
I agree with that. Yeah. I mean, it was like a spectacle that was really intriguing and sort of like wanted to know more about what was going on. And then reading about sort of the, you know, yeah, what was kind of behind some of the imagery and the lyrics and stuff made it really, just a really satisfying experience.
Agreed. Know? And not, one that we haven't really seen in a long time, a serious protest like that, or at least not that comes to memory right away. So
right.
I thought I thought it was pretty cool. And I have a guest on the show periodically, John Egan, who I went to Facebook because I wanted to see what some of the, like, I just knew some people were going to react the way they reacted. So I went there to read that. And the first thing I see is John's post. It said, "Nobody cares that you didn't like that." So did you have a favorite commercial, Rob?
I'm trying to think. You know, there's a lot where, like, could we have a moratorium on celebrities and commercials for, like, 1 year?
Please.
Could we just maybe, like, because I'm really tired of it. I'm really tired of seeing extremely rich people pretending to be silly, you know? Like, I was trying to think of if there's any of them that I really
The Dunkin' liked. Donuts. I don't ever need to see the Affleck brothers in a commercial again. They think they're so cute, and everything they say is funny, and it's like, enough.
I did like the one last year with J-Lo. I thought that was that last year, 2 years ago? I thought that was very funny.
I don't remember.
This one has been on forever. Like, there's like a 7-minute version on YouTube. And I was like, what are we doing here with Jeremy Strong? The Bill Murray one was interesting. Was that his real email address? That whole thing is interesting to me.
Yeah. He was in two of them. I think he was in two of them. I love the Harrison Ford one for Jeep. I thought that was just a great ad, bringing people together, the different cars, different personalities, and then he made fun of his name at the end. So, you know, I thought it was a nice commercial.
That was good. It was that felt like a very throwback commercial to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like car commercial, where a lot of them were trying to be like little SNL skits with famous people in the middle, and the product is sort of like, oh, yeah, by the way, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Eat a Hershey's bar or whatever. That one was like, that's an old school car ad, and I did enjoy it for that.
Rob, thank you, buddy, so much. We'll keep talking as we get closer to the Oscars.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very excited to hear what you have to say about the remaining films, and I'll try to watch the ones I have still to see, too, and we'll have a fun talk about it.
That sounds good. Thanks, Pete.
Okay, buddy. Talk to you later, Rob. Thanks so much. That is Rob Thomas. Check out his work. He is the CityCast Madison newsletter editor. They do great stuff. And if you are interested or trying to make plans for Valentine's Day and you're in the Madison area, I highly recommend checking out Rob's article where he lists about 10 different places with 7 and 8 course meals and fun brunch and all kinds of cool designer cocktails all happening around Madison. Definitely check that out. Conrad, what are you going to do for... Because it's Friday, right?
Is it Friday?
I think Friday is Valentine's Day.
It's the 14th, right?
Yeah, so it's Friday.
It is Friday.
Man, I got to find a date.
I'm just going to work.
Just going to work?
And then work out.
Okay.
That's
It's kind of a celebration of Conrad. I think that's all you need to do.
There we go.
Get a quick trip chicken sandwich on the way home, and you're all set.
Now that's a meal for Valentine's Day right there.
That's a one-course extravaganza, and that is all you need. I purposely got done a minute early in case Steady Eddie tried to slide one in under the wire here, but I think we'll have to wait.
Maybe since we missed his text, he's waiting to text tomorrow.
You know? I hope we can get back on a cycle. I love the man. Pam from the 321 also said she texted in Grandma Jean Krieger from Florida. That's very nice. Does your grandma, would she be in the fan club?
Of Nightlight?
Nightlight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What do you mean of? What? No, the Green Bay Packers. Yeah. All right.
Florida.
Hey, thank you to Rob Thomas. Thank you to retired officer Mark Motorson. We'll be back to do this all again tomorrow night with our guests. Who are our guests, Conrad? I can't find my sheet.
Well, we have 7,000 apart.
7,000 apart. Yes, of course. And who else?
Okay, now I don't have my sheet in
Glenn
front of me.
Glenn Morshower, actor Glenn Morshower from 24. We'll be back tomorrow night. Good night, Wisconsin.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
This week on The Rational Revolution, our dear friend Ahmaud Rivera Wagner brings Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn to talk about January 6th.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Yeah, lean left. Great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A teacher from Pennsylvania is back on American soil after spending more than 3 years in a Russian prison. Mark Fogel headed straight to the White House to thank President Trump.
I love our country, and I'm so happy to be back here. And I wish I could articulate it better.
We got him home, and he's healthy. It looks good, actually. To me, you look damn good, I'll tell you that.
The Kremlin's just announced an unidentified Russian citizen was freed in the U.S. as part of a swap. Mark Fogel was arrested at the airport in Moscow in 2021 for marijuana possession. His family says it was for medical purposes. Winter storm warnings are posted from Kansas and Missouri all the way to the mid-Atlantic states today. WTOP Radio Steve Dresner is in Washington, D.C.
For the most part, this storm has gone according to plan, at least for folks here in the Washington.